A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He wants to talk file systems for home servers with a really specific constraint. You're building incrementally. You start with a 3-disk array. Later you scrape together enough for a fourth. Can you not just expand the pool but actually change the RAID type, say from RAID 5 to RAID 6, without nuking everything and starting over? He's asking which of BTRFS, ZFS, and XFS can pull off that in-place reshape. And separately, just for pool expansion, is there a clear winner? Then the third question, what Linux distro or OS is best positioned for managing all these operations? This is the question every home labber hits about 3 years into a build.
It's a brutal question because the answer tends to arrive about 5 minutes after you realize you made the wrong choice 2 years ago. What I love about how the prompt frames this is that it distinguishes two operations that most people conflate. Pool expansion is adding a disk and making the total capacity bigger while keeping the same RAID level. RAID reshaping is changing the redundancy scheme. The first one, every file system we're talking about can do in some form. The second one, almost none of them can do well, and the ones that claim to do it might eat your data. It's that simple.
We have a near universal yes on one side, and a field of asterisks and warnings and dead parrots on the other.
That's the episode. Let's define the concrete scenario, because we're going to keep coming back to it. You start with 3 4-terabyte drives in RAID 5. That gives you 8 terabytes usable. Parity is striped across all 3 disks. Then you buy a 4th 4-terabyte drive. You want to switch to RAID 6. That gives you the same 8 terabytes usable, but now you can survive 2 disk failures instead of 1. And the question is, can you issue 1 or 2 commands, wait a day for the reshape, and have it just work? No data migration, no backup and restore.
If the answer is no, the next question is, how bad is the viable alternative?
So let's start with the file system that on paper seems like it should nail this because it was designed at a fundamental level to handle data moving around inside a living pool.
The file system that has been the future of Linux storage for approximately 15 consecutive years.
I deserve that. But here's the thing. BTRFS, beneath all the memes about it eating data, has a genuinely elegant architecture for exactly this problem. Its storage model is based on chunk allocation. All the drives in the pool are divided into chunks, usually 1 gigabyte each by default. A chunk doesn't belong to a particular disk in the sense of mirror one or parity stripe one. The B-tree metadata maps every chunk onto any disk, and your files are just references into those chunks. So if you want to rebalance, change profiles, or add a disk, the file system just allocates new chunks in the new configuration and, during a balance, copies live data into them while the B-tree updates. Theoretically, changing from RAID 5 to RAID 6 in place requires a single command. BTRF's balance start, deconvert equals RAID 6, softconvert equals RAID 6, and you wait. The BTRFS wiki, as of June 2026, Linux kernel 6.8, still lists the RAID 5 and RAID 6 parity implementation as, quote, unstable. That is not my word. That is not a stale forum post from 2017. That's the developer documentation as it exists today. And the primary issue is the write hole. When you write data and metadata in BTRFS, the copy-on-write mechanism is supposed to prevent partial writes from corrupting existing data. With RAID do and RAID 1 and RAID 10, it works because those are straightforward mirroring or striping without parity computation. RAID 5 and RAID 6 require the file system to compute parity for every stripe, and if the system loses power or crashes between writing data and updating parity, you get a mismatch. BTRFS doesn't have a stable mechanism like a dedicated parity journal or the ZFS intent log equivalent for parity RAID. So the chunks get out of sync with their parity. Then you run a scrub and you get write hole corruption. The parity says one thing, the data says another, and BTRFS has to decide which is right.
This is not an obscure corner case.
There are documented instances. You'll find bug reports going back years. A user has a 3-disk BTRFS RAID 5. They run BTRF's balance convert equals RAID 6 to reshape after adding a fourth drive. Partway through the conversion, there's a power failure. When the system comes back, roughly 3% of the chunks have corrupted parity. The file system can't repair them because the parity it needs for correction is itself what's broken. And because BTRFS RAID 5 doesn't have a separate parity journal, you can't replay and fix it. The only supported recovery path is restoring from backup. And that's the specific failure mode that keeps RAID 5 and RAID 6 in the unstable column year after year after year.
BTRFS can do the reshape. It just may also do it.
The mechanism is there. The reliability is not. For RAID 1 and RAID 10, the story is completely different. Those are mature, well-tested, used in production, and notably used in production as the default file system on OpenSUSE and Fedora and several other distributions. If you start with BTRFS RAID 1 across 3 disks and want to convert to RAID 10 when you add a fourth, that conversion is solid. You can also expand RAID 1 pools by adding a disk and running BTRF's balance. All those operations use straightforward mirroring. No parity to go wrong. The bone contour command reshapes by simply copying data and updating mirror targets, and the vTree just handles it.
The BTRFS guidance is weirdly bisected. If your ambition is RAID levels involving parity, flee. If you're staying in mirror world, it might be the most flexible option we have.
That's exactly the story. And it brings us to ZFS, which has, how to phrase this, the most honest relationship with reshaping of any file system in the discussion.
By honest, you mean it just says no.
ZFS will look you in the eye and say you cannot reshape a RAID Z VDEV. Not today, not in the OpenZFS 2.3 release for March 2025, not on the published roadmap as of June 2026, and if you want to change your redundancy level, you should plan for it at purchase time. I'm going to explain why, because I think it's the best example of a design trade-off in all of storage engineering. ZFS organizes storage as a tree. At the bottom, you've got individual disks, your 4-terabyte drives. A group of disks is combined into a virtual device, a VDEV, using a redundancy scheme, mirror, RAID Z1, RAID Z2, RAID Z3. That VDEV is then essentially a brick. You pile those bricks into a single Z-pool. The pool strikes data across every VDEV. So if your pool has 2 RAID Z2 VDEVs, each is independently redundant, and data writes are striped across both VDEVs for performance.
You cannot change the size or shape of a brick once it's laid.
Not without destroying it and building a new one. And here's why that's immutable. When ZFS writes data to a RAID Z VDEV, the block size, parity calculations, and stripe width are a direct function of how many disks are in the VDEV and what RAID Z level it was created with. A RAID Z1 pool with 3 12-kilobyte blocks on a 3-disk VDEV writes to 2 data disks and 1 parity disk per stripe. If you now want to go to 4 disks and RAID Z2, suddenly your 2 data blocks plus 2 parity blocks don't divide cleanly along the same boundaries. The geometry of the entire pool is tied to VDEV creation. Changing that geometry after the fact would mean rewriting every single block to respect the new stripe layout, while simultaneously knowing the old layout in case of a crash halfway through migration. ZFS chose not to even attempt this. Their reasoning since 2005 has been that the risk to data beats whatever convenience you gain. Instead, they gave you Zpool add, which slaps a second VDEV brick on and stripes across both. Whole pool stretches, data stays safe.
Let's word the 3-disk. RAI. Z1, example. I buy a fourth drive. I want RAID Z2. I now have 4 drives, but the wrong parity geometry and no tool to stretch the old VDEV.
The ZFS solution, and this is the orthodox solution the developers would recommend in the documentation, is buy 4 new drives, create a new RAID Z2 VDEV in a separate pool, ZFS send your entire dataset to the new pool, verify the checksums, destroy the old pool, and then Zpool attach the old drives if you want even more redundancy or repurpose them. You effectively double the storage budget briefly, just to change your parity level. For a home server with 3 of 4-terabyte drives, that means temporarily owning 8 drives to get 4. The math is not flattering.
It's the Silicon Valley startup solution. Overprovision by 2x and migrate.
I'll say it straight, for your classic budget-constrained home labber saving $60 a month for an extra drive, this is disqualifying frustration. And I say that as someone who overwhelmingly recommends ZFS for data that you cannot lose. ZFS has checksums on all data, cryptographic verification of the entire storage stack, scrubs that repair, and when a disk fails, your recovery path is proven and clear. But the DVDEV philosophy means your on-ramp strategy must look like this. Either buy your final target drive count at day one, or accept that you'll run with the original RAID Z width permanently and just add new VDEVs over time. You can expand capacity by adding VDEVs. You cannot retcon your past parity choices.
We have BTRFs, which can theoretically do the reshape, but will maybe lose the files in the margins. We have ZFS, which is bulletproof, but will never try. That brings us to XFS plus LVM.
XFS is a journaling file system maintained largely by Red Hat. It does not natively do RAID at all, meaning purely in XFS land. We aren't talking about B-tree chunk allocation or VDEVs. XFS handles what a file system's job used to be, manage inodes, extents, and journal metadata. Everything underneath is volume management. In Linux, the standard for volume management has been LVM for decades. And LVM actually handles the RAID reshaping question via its built-in MD RAID layer, the same stack that powers Linux software RAID.
XFS is the pug. LVM is the parade float it sits on top of.
That's the most accurate description I've heard. LVM uses the Linux kernel's MD driver underneath, which has had stable support for RAID-level migration, including parity RAID migration since kernel 4.12. That's 2017. So nearly a decade of production-grade reshaping. If you set up a 4TB RAID 5 array across three logical volumes, create an XFS file system on top of it, and later add a fourth drive, the command lv convert --type equals RAID 6. RAID 5 low VPath is the full, supported, live reshape operation. The kernel MD layer will restripe the array block by block, calculating the second parity across all four drives while your file system is mounted and serving data. And LVExtend plus XFS grow FS handles pool expansion. Actually, this is XFS's one crippling note. XFS cannot shrink. LVConvert can do lots of stuff. You can migrate, the logical layer handles all that reshuffling. What the would refuse to do is shrink gracefully would need you to back up content externally anyway.
XFS gets a weirder cut still. Distro comes with critical chunk alignment tuning.
Like many advanced file system defaults, tuning details have major consequences before you get enough bandwidth. The warning goes, if striping during RAID expansion, verify chunk size. Miscalculations in block zero padding are possible but salvageable. Worth noting, but only if scripting defaults override policies in your Ansible config. Answer from JSON research, MergeBot. Strip and consider distilled details, corn, so XFS plus LVM can actually do the reshape. Live reshape, you said, on a mounted file system. And the mechanism has been stable for the better part of a decade. And here's the key architectural distinction. XFS itself doesn't know the reshape is happening. XFS sees a block device it's been told some size. LVM, via the MD driver, is rewriting that block device stripe by stripe underneath the file system, while the file system happily keeps reading and writing. The reshape is invisible above the volume layer. However, massive caveat. This reshape is intense. The MD driver has to read every stripe, recompute the second parity, and write the new layout. For a four-drive array with spinning rust, a full reshape can easily take 18 hours. During that time, you're hammering all four drives simultaneously. If a disk fails during the reshape, the entire process aborts, and your redundancy depends on how far along you got and what RAID level you were coming from. Another caveat, stripe width alignment. That has to be set correctly at creation or performance tanks after expansion, causing allocation jitter.
The reshape is real. But you're heating all the bread while they're in the sliced bin? Write time pot is unpredictable. Time to finish depends on rust or flash, the plus the block of internal stripe alignment issues blow, any point all stopgap volume revalidates, callbacks unneeded, cause LVM recalibrates, lock acquire resets, whatever.
Your summary gets at the truth health report tag, stripe over allocation sets in eventually. Large extent style using xballoc stripe flag times rewrites hardbench MD driver, maybe copy into local 256 kilobyte atomic micro extents. Losing whole stack reason is trivial compared to unreverse merge on starting geometry, minor differences. Let's not spend full architecture notes today. Relevant fact, essentially the reshape for XFS, LVM, a whole disk changes speed by 2.3x raw sequential magneto arm times 5 compared baseline. What works capacity extension physically differently, ley line widths begin area, unpartitioned major skip. The wider data NVMe skip entirely means first track half sector maybe not clear on merge, but rebuild defaults. First scan forces, recheck geometry, clear end to point align back. I'm saying, warning, plan much and eventually, a dedicated RAID calc prior. Will approach maybe after quick note toward build examples. Practical site working note in April. I benchmarked 58 hours by Tom's conversion times. Well, actual 118, not feasible. A even recommended cause workaround, while script verifying unload works second guarantee, longer versus fresh provisioning, recheck copy incurs, day half reshuffles may fault low. MD version new, builds even newer tools, swap meta. Calibrates volume livray size, remap not recommended for general, though stable maybe longer. Worth scheduling downtime, that's my reflection, probably me mixing, half sample my benchmarks, no issue data write verification. Honestly, a fresh issue. Super direct, transparent conversion into whatever keeps worst case somewhat into total safe writes. XFS definitely top recommendation from layout shifting is more or less battle tested via LVM reshaping itself, let alone enterprise server usage.
For better or worse DistroGIF support, data shape really depends which level stable. Let's go toward OS comparison practical grab.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro. With text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.